We have all seen the kind of interview with a well-known, wealthy person who admits that wealth has not fully satisfied him or her. Sometimes they say, "I would give up all my wealth to have my marriage and my children back." Or, "I would give up all my wealth to have inner peace." In those admissions, there's a longing for a different kind of wealth, getting rich in a much deeper way, an enriched life.
And that is just one moment from today's Peace and Power Bible Talk with Dr. Jim Coleman. Welcome. Somewhere deep within, each of us desires an inner flow of peace and power that transforms our daily attitudes, relationships, and life decisions. The Bible, God's message to us, teaches us to live in that flow. Remember, the outline of today's talk is available in the show notes, and the full transcript is posted on our website at peaceandpowerpodcast.com. That's peaceandpowerpodcast.com. Now let's listen for God's guidance in today's Bible talk.
Recently, I heard the story of a very wealthy father who wanted his 8-year-old son to truly appreciate the difference between wealth and poverty. So the father arranged for him and his son to spend the weekend with a poor farm family outside of the city. The family was told that this father wanted his son to see how a real farm worked and what farm life was like, and the father was glad to pay them for this experience. The family graciously welcomed them into their humble home for a 3-day weekend. On the way back home to the big city, the father turned to his son and asked, "Well, what a weekend. I guess I'm wondering what you learned from our weekend trip and how poor people live versus how rich people live." The son began, "Well, let's see. We have one dog, but they have 4 dogs." He paused in thought and then said excitedly, "And we have a pool, but nearby they have a whole creek." The father got a concerned look on his face. "And," the son went on, "we turn on the party lights beside our pool, but at night they can look up and see all the stars. And we buy food, but they grow their own. And we watch stories on TV, but they sit around telling their own stories." There was a moment of silence in the car, and the boy finally said, "Thanks for taking me this weekend, Dad. Now I know how really rich those farm people are." Sometimes we forget what true wealth is, don't we? And this is especially true of spiritual wealth. That's why the so-called health and wealth gospel is misleading. It claims that a relationship with Jesus will result in physical health and material blessings. The problem with this claim is that Jesus didn't teach this. The apostles didn't teach this. The Bible does not teach this. If anything, Jesus promised that those who truly followed him would experience rejection, persecution, even suffering. And yet, there is the probability that living a godly lifestyle promotes good health and material success. There is the likelihood that a godly commitment to a strong work ethic, conservative spending, and commitment to saving money does indeed sometimes result in material success. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, expressed his concern that Methodists would live the godly pattern of a strong work ethic and save or spend so responsibly that material blessings would result and Methodists would become satisfied with material things and lose their spiritual passion. It's almost as if John Wesley had read Jesus' letter to the church at Laodicea. Be assured, he had read it, and Wesley knew that it could be readdressed to any believers who followed in the footsteps of the ancient Laodicean congregation. And it does us well to listen to the Lord Jesus' words of warning to them. For the first century Christians in the city of Laodicea had everything going their way. Laodicea, which was located in ancient Asia Minor, was a tremendously wealthy city. It was the hub of a banking industry. It also had a medical school famous for its eye salve. In today's terminology, business was good, stocks were up, bonuses were generous, your accountant deserved a raise, and your retirement account showed smooth sailing ahead. None of this material wealth had to lessen the spiritual zeal of the Christians in Laodicea, but it did. So Jesus, in his message to them, written by the Apostle John, is going to point out the problem and offer the solution. Here is the middle part of his message to this church in Revelation chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. You say, I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Also buy white garments from me, so you will not be shamed by your nakedness, and ointment for your eyes, so you will be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. Now, you just heard from Jesus quite an accusation. This is probably a shocking accusation to them. They're not used to anyone calling them poor. And right away, we have a clue that they are quite proud of their wealth. Notice what Jesus has heard them say. You say, I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor. Now, how opposite this pride is from what Jesus taught as he began the Sermon on the Mount. Remember his teaching in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3? God blesses those who are poor, that is, spiritually poor, and realize their need for him. What a blessing to truly understand our spiritual poverty. That's when we know to turn to the one who can make us spiritually rich. In a moment in verse 18, we will see the wealth Jesus offers to the Laodiceans. But Jesus continues with describing their spiritual needs. So he adds, and blind, spiritually blind. Oh, the Laodiceans are probably very religious, but that doesn't ensure that they are very spiritual. Remember, Jesus told the very religious Pharisees that they were blinded by their legalism, blinded by their hypocrisy, blinded by their greed. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus calls them blind guides, verse 16, blind fools, verse 17, how blind, verse 19, blind guides, again, in verse 24, and blind Pharisees, in verse 26. What were the Laodicean Christians blinded by? It seems their material wealth and their pride in that wealth and their satisfied comfort that came with that wealth blinded them to their spiritual poverty. A few days ago, I needed to drive one of our family cars that I don't drive very much. When I'm in this car, I must be more careful about stop signs, I've noticed, because it has more of a blind spot to the right. Isn't it true that there are certain parts of each of our lives that tend to be blind spots for us? For the Laodiceans, money and pride were their blind spots, and Jesus told them so. One of the most humbling results of poverty can be a lack of adequate clothing, and that's the third description Jesus gives when he says they are, in the latter part of verse 17, naked. Having no clothes to wear is a sign of extreme poverty, and when someone has proper self-worth and self-respect, they're very embarrassed to have no clothing. But it seems the Laodicean Christians are spiritually poor and naked, and they are not, in fact, aware and ashamed of their spiritual poverty. I must say, when I compare my daily faith with the bold faith of the apostles, I feel spiritually poor. When I compare my sermons to the Puritan sermons, my sermons look anemic. When I am told of the dedicated prayer life of our Korean brothers and sisters, my prayer bank account looks empty. When I hear of African brothers and sisters spending a 10-hour day in Bible study, my Bible study seems naked. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, let us see our true spiritual condition and repent. Now, don't misunderstand. Jesus is not going to demand that the Laodicean Christians move out of a comfortable, safe home, or give up all their material possessions, or withdraw all funds from their bank account. He did, by the way, demand this of the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19 and Mark chapter 10 and Luke chapter 18. Same story. Because only by giving those things up could that particular young man follow Christ into spiritual riches. Sometimes Jesus does ask some people to give up a comfortable lifestyle. But what he asks of these Laodicean believers is to stop trusting in their comfort and to begin trusting in him so they can experience true spiritual wealth. Paul advised the young pastor Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:17 this: teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. So, what is the solution Jesus offers? Well, it's kind of like when you turn on the financial TV programs and they frequently interview successful financial experts who give investment advice. These experts usually have years of knowledge and experience in helpfully guiding investors to make sound investment decisions. Well, to the Laodicean believers, Jesus offers investment advice, spiritual investment advice. He tells them to invest in gold, verse 18. So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Where do they buy this pure gold? From Jesus. It's not really buying it from him. It's, so to speak, acquiring it from him. It is really free. Remember, Paul explained to the Ephesian believers that their spiritual wealth was in Jesus. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. He is so rich in kindness and grace. Ephesians 1, verses 3 and 7. It is out of the spiritual riches of Christ that we are made spiritually rich. But we may have to go through times and circumstances that deepen and purify our faith. Did you hear Jesus include that in his advice? So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Maybe the Laodiceans are so spiritually poor because they have not allowed their faith to be purified through persecution. There's another type of purity Jesus mentions here, a pure garment. We read a moment ago in verse 17 that spiritual poverty brings nakedness. So Jesus offers new and pure spiritual clothing, which he says here will rescue them from shame or the embarrassment of poverty. Then Jesus responds to the blindness, which was mentioned in the middle part of verse 17. He does that by offering a healing ointment. Ointment for your eyes so you will be able to see, verse 18. As mentioned earlier, in the city of Laodicea, there was a medical school renowned for its eye salve. They understand perfectly when Jesus says he has eye salve for their spiritual eyes. Did you notice how Jesus mentions each of their spiritual problems, then gives a solution for each one? They are spiritually poor, and Jesus solves that by giving them spiritual gold. They are spiritually unclean, and Jesus solves that by giving them a pure garment. They have little spiritual sight, and Jesus solves that with healing eye ointment. This is the real health and wealth gospel, the enriched spiritual life. Jesus also wants the Laodiceans to understand his motives for such firm words. They are corrective words of love, he says in verse 19. I correct and discipline everyone I love, so be diligent and turn from your indifference. They have been unfaithful, and the only path back to faithfulness goes through correction. But the writer of Hebrews also declares that God disciplines us out of love. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and part of verse 6 and in verse 11, hear this. And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as His children? He said, "My child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when He corrects you, for the Lord disciplines those He loves." No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. We have all seen the kind of interview with a well-known wealthy person who admits that wealth has not fully satisfied him or her. Sometimes they say, "I would give up all my wealth to have my marriage and my children back." Or, "I would give up all my wealth to have inner peace." In those admissions, there's a longing for a different kind of wealth, getting rich in a much deeper way, an enriched life. The solutions Jesus offers to the church in Laodicea are a different kind of health, a different kind of wealth, aren't they? They don't necessarily enrich, make rich, our body or our bank account. No, they enrich us in a far deeper way. This is the real health and wealth gospel. And there is no greater enriched life than the spiritual health and wealth made possible by Jesus. So, after reading these words of Jesus to the Laodicean church, may we ask the same question that Father asked his son as they drove home from the farm? It might sound like this: "What have you learned about how poor people live versus how rich people live?" And then we can rephrase the answer: "Now I know how really rich those Christians are." Hear this peace and power principle. Truly admit your spiritual poverty and truly embrace Jesus' spiritual wealth.
Thank you for listening to the Peace and Power podcast, and we invite you to subscribe to hear the next upcoming Bible talk. Again, our website is peaceandpowerpodcast.com, and our prayer is that God's Word has brought you a greater sense of a supernatural flow of God's peace and power in your life.